From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 9th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds will be here in agmarket.net to discuss how far along he is in his farming operation, some of the cash grain market situation, and we'll take up prevent plant as a decision producers probably ought to begin considering at this point. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the real factor in that prevent plant decision, the weather forecast. Mike Tenura will be here from T-Storm Weather on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to help us take a look at the marketplace. It's kind of a big day. Tomorrow will be a much bigger day with the USDA reports and some kind of idea what happened with the trade deal. Tell me what your thoughts are this afternoon, Dan.
Well, it's all China all the time. I mean, at this point, That's the overriding influence. Everybody seems to be focused on China trade deal and whether or not it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, you know, how long do we have to wait? Do we have to wait another couple of weeks, or do we have to wait another month, or what the deal is? But I do think the way the market has performed this week, I think a lot of people have kind of given up on any kind of China trade deal. So I guess that kind of makes me a little optimistic that maybe one is fairly close. The stock market was down over 400 points. Now it's only down 225 or so. So I think there's a relative optimism in the stock market that some kind of deal might get cooked. We don't know. I guess my best guess is that, you know, if China is sincere and the two top guys are talking now, Trump and the president of China, and that's where the deal was going to be cut anyway. It was never going to be cut down at the lower level stuff. The lower level people are the ones that, you know, do all the legwork and get all the stuff in print and this and that. And it's always going to be everything goes up to the top guy. So I think that's a good sign that the top two guys are talking now. And if China is actually serious about cutting the deal, I guess it wouldn't be a bit surprised if the can doesn't get kicked one more time. Maybe at 11:58, the can will get kicked, you know, down the road a couple weeks or so, if China is really serious about cutting the deal, and Trump believes that that is actually going to happen. So we don't know until tomorrow what happens. Tomorrow's report, I really think they're going to take a back seat because, I mean, it's going to be nice for them to trace out a balance sheet. But we got a lot of crop to plant yet, and we don't know necessarily where we're at on this year's production. So, you know, they can – I don't care what kind of yield they put on it. Everybody's going to be second-guessing it, depending upon what weather does in the next couple weeks. And as you've mentioned on Twitter several times, that prevent plant window is getting smaller by the day, depending upon where you live and what's going to happen to that.
Yeah, I've already had the conversation with Matt Bennett that's going to come up yet this afternoon. I wanted to make sure I had some time to talk with him about prevent plant and the decision process. Not a wheel has turned here in Champaign County, and he's an hour south of us, maybe a bit more than that. Nothing, he's not moved either. And so there's just an awful lot of acres here that haven't been put in the ground. Of course, it's June 5 for the prevent plant date in the state of Illinois. That's a much further away than that May 25 in the Dakotas, I think, and maybe May 31 in Minnesota. I don't recall what that date is.
But they got another 10 days to drop dead, don't they? Don't they lose a percent a day for like 10 days and then it's a drop dead date? Or are you giving me drop dead dates?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. I do not know the answer to the question. I think those are the drop dead dates, but I just don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I honestly do not know. That's a good question. I'll have to find it out, and I'll tweet it out. And...
Because we have a prevent plant date, and then you lose a percent a day, I think, for like 10 days. And then at the end of that 10 days, then that's a drop dead date.
Oh, that's probably. So the June 5, May 25, and May 31 are probably the beginning dates of that. Then I'd have to look the prevent plant up, but I'm going to guess that's the
because,
way.
And if that's the case, then you don't have any insurance at that point.
Right.
Then I guess I guess I'm old enough that I've seen some June 10th corn planted in Illinois and turned out to be a pretty good yield, halfway decent, better than the prevent plant payment probably is going to be. So I don't know if crop insurance doesn't count after that. That tells you another good reason why crop insurance ain't no good, you know, because
you want prevent plant and crop insurance. So that's the question I asked earlier, too,
you know. So, I mean, but people should be able, I mean, now, of course, I'm an old dog. I remember 1974. Very few people living probably still remember 74. But 74 was one of those years where all the perils came into play. We no more than got the crop planted after a very late start to planting. It turned hot and dry for a couple months, and then we had the early frost. So I don't know what comes around goes around or what goes around comes around if we're into another 74 or not. But that is one year that I'm watching anyway, because especially for those people in the northern areas, when if they got a plant late, even if they get it in before the prevent plant date, then they're really subject, I think, to an early frost. And with low sunspot activity, we're going to be in a position for a cooler summer and maybe an early frost. So I do think those are all risks down the road. But we got to get the crop planted first, and that's going to be a struggle for some people. But we still have time. But I know if I was a farmer, I would probably be biting my fingers off probably. Now my nails would be gone. It's just one of these situations that we just have to wait out the weatherman and see whether or not Mother Nature's going to give us a shot at a decent planting window and get some acres in.
Okay, so I want you to think about the situation this way. So let's say that Trump and Xi come to some resolution that actually kicks this thing down the road again. So that's a no change, but we might have a jump of some sort in the marketplace to recapture some of the current losses. What do the charts tell you about corn and soybeans?
They don't really. I mean, the trend is down, and when the trend's down, the market always usually goes lower than what you really think it's going to go. Just like when the trend is up, it always goes higher than what you think it goes. But, you know, my guess is that we're at some pretty decent support levels in here until we decide whether or not we're going to get the crop planted and how many acres we're actually going to lose. And that's still another week or two away yet. You know, I've been talking about May 20th. May 20th is usually when panic begins to set in, when the trade actually realizes, yeah, we're only going to get 80% of our acres planted, or we're only going to get 75% of our acres planted. We still have to wait till that, May 20th date, I think, before any kind of panic really starts. But when I look at some of my cycles, I can be optimistic that corn can rally, but the soybeans look like they could struggle, not necessarily go lower, because it's kind of hard to get, you know, the commodities to go in opposite directions. But it does actually say that maybe a lot of these corn acres may end up in soybeans. If that's the case, corn begins to rally, soybeans begin to flatten out or be under slight pressure. But we'll just have to see, because, you know, I do think we're getting to the serious stages, but that's always the case. The market always takes you right to the edge, whether it's in planting or whether it's during a dry weather scare during the summer months.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me for the day.
Very well.
That is, of course, Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. No Commodity Week recording this afternoon because that'll be live tomorrow. USDA's report is at 11 a.m. Central Time. You know, tomorrow, the United States Department of Agriculture will give us its first look at the new crop corn yield. And that calculation will include, by default at this point, what planting progress across the United States is like. As Scott Irwin and I talked about that last week, he'd been doing some calculations on his own. I thought it would be worthwhile hearing at least a little small portion of that calculation from the U of I Ag economist.
We're looking at the effect of late planting on U.S. average corn yields. What we've found is that in the bulk of years, the planting date doesn't have, at least in the aggregate, much of an impact. But if you get into a small handful of years where planting is really late, and we define that as 10% or more than the average level of late planting in the U.S., that signals pretty strongly in the data trouble. And that we have 6 years since 1980 that meet that standard. And in those 6 years, five of the years, yield was below trend, so that's over 80% of the years, and the average yield below trend is off by 6.1 bushels per acre. So if in 2019 we get into the same kind of situation, which seems likely, then we should start lowering our yield projections versus trend. And that kind of yield drop pretty quickly gets you to around 170 bushels an acre for the U.S., at least for the time being.
That's Scott Irwin, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Matt Bennett. He is at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, let's start with how far along you are in your farming this spring.
I haven't done anything yet. There was a couple of guys that were able to go on Wednesday, and it looked good. They were on some fully tiled ground, and you know, we had some ground too that we were pretty close on. We decided to wait and see what the rain event would do. We had around an inch, a little less, definitely enough to keep us out of the field for, you know, a couple, three more days. So yeah, we haven't done anything yet. We're really hoping that this window opens up for us next week and we get some heat, you know, because after you get the tiled fields done, there's a lot of water standing around still, even yesterday.
Yeah, so my discussions with Mike Tenura, and those are going to come up shortly, tell me that we'll probably have some rainfall midweek, and then things get ugly on the weekend, more to the north than to here into the west. So that'll keep farmers out of the field probably until, what, oh, I don't know, the 20th or so. So we'll see how things go. I want to have a different kind of discussion with you, because while producers are out of the field and the market was ugly today, I think maybe we ought to start talking about prevent plant and how producers need to think about that process, what it really means for them. There will be some producers in that listen that have used it before, but a whole lot that have not. Have you thought about it and what this all means?
Yes, I have. And, you know, obviously a lot of this depends upon what level that you're insured at. So let's just talk a producer at the higher end, you know, at 85%. You know, if you're looking at 85%, basically you take that 85% times your spring price times your yield. And then the factor, I believe, is 55%. You know, I've heard some people toss around 60%, but my insurance guy told me the way mine would work out, the way my math would work out, is around 55% of that number. That gives me about $410 an acre at a 220 APH. But the 200 APH, obviously, you've got to ratchet that down around 10%. So, you know, definitely it's something to consider. I would like to point out There's a large amount of acreage in this part of the world that didn't have any anhydrous on, didn't have any chemical on. And so there's really very little invested in the crop, probably dry fertilizers on. But as we all know, that dry fertilizer isn't going anywhere. So that might make it a little bit more an option, especially for a producer in a low input situation, you know, where they don't have a lot wrapped up maybe in cash rent.
And my brother sent me the numbers this morning, and it was the 55% on that one as well. And you're right, that's somewhere, and I'm at 80% with SCO as opposed to 85. So I was at 391 on an acre on that. But it's also no-till. So anhydrous was put on. There was a burn down last fall. And then, of course, DAP for the fall fertilizer, too. So it depends a lot on how much of the input you've already got in place. But conventional tillage looks like that might be a decision you have to really start to consider pretty soon.
You know, the thing about it, not only the input situation, but, you know, a lot of folks weren't able to get any, you know, any herbicide on last fall, you know, to try to hold the weeds down here this spring. So, you know, you've seen a lot of pretty fields here this time of year, this year. And so it's not going to be just as easy as you going out and running the field cultivator through the, you know, through your ground and then planting the corn. You know, not to mention the issues we have with anhydrous, but, you know, you're going to have to be able to get, probably going to have to run a spring disc, which isn't something that I don't really like doing if I don't have to, but I don't know what kind of choices we have at this point. And then, you know, give it a chance to air, work the ground and plant corn. It's not going to be as fast a planting pace as what we've had here these last several years by any stretch of the imagination.
How many acres do you think might go prevent plant?
That's a wonderful question. You know, some of the producers I've talked to in the Dakotas, where you typically see a lot of prevent plant, they haven't had it the last couple of years. Some of those guys have gotten rain here this week, and they're starting to talk about it a little bit. You know, I would say that you could get to a more normal prevent plant level. You know, whether that means you get to 3 or 4 or 5 million acres of prevent plant, I don't know. But I certainly feel like given the spring price being as high as what it is, and then given current prices for corn being where they're at, if we continue with this lackluster run in the markets into the 1st of June, when a lot of people are making decisions, I have no doubt that we'll see that probably towards the higher end of the range than the lower end of the range whenever it comes to these prevent plant acres.
Anything else we ought to take up on this prevent plant? There is one item. I know Gary Schnittke and I talked about this earlier in the week. Less likely that producers in Illinois, probably large parts of Iowa, would have to deal with this, but you do have to check and see how many of your acres would be paid out on prevent plant if you've taken prevent plant in previous years. So if on 100 acres, you might only get paid on 60. I'm going to guess that most farmers are going to be in the, at least in Illinois, are going to get paid on 100% of their acreage.
Right. Most producers really haven't had prevent plant come into play here in the past. So it's definitely something to check up on. Another thing I just add is that, you know, you look at these guys in the Delta. A lot of those folks have not been able to plant corn, you know, and it's past their planting date for some of these guys. Some of them that have planted have said they don't know they'd like to be able to replant, but they continue to get pummeled, and the forecasts are showing that they're going to continue to get a lot of rain. That's definitely an area of the world where there's not a ton of corn planted, but I don't know that we're going to be able to count on much production coming out of that part of the world at all this year.
Not a ton of corn, but Todd Hubbs and I were talking about that this morning, something like 1 to 1.1 million acres.
Absolutely, and that's a lot whenever you're talking about those acres or, you know, those bushels are going to have to come from somewhere else. I mean, obviously, you know, they are heavily involved in the export market down there, and there's no question that basis is going to feather out into other areas of the Corn Belt.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it a lot.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this 9th day of May. We're now joined by Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us.
Great being here, Todd. How's your day going?
Oh, you know, it's really good, admittedly, it's my birthday, so hey, it can't be bad, right?
Oh, nice. Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you so much. So what I wanted for my birthday was for my farm to be planted. That didn't happen. I'd like to get it planted sooner rather than later. What do you see as far as rain, not only here in our part of the world, but around the United States?
Well, it's not going to be as wet over the next 7 to 10 days compared to what it has been like. So that's where we start. But we do need to point out that it's not going to be completely dry. We will see some rain across the Corn Belt this weekend, and we'll see some more on Tuesday and Wednesday coming up. Neither of these look like major events, but we still could see anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half of an inch across the southern third to half of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio this weekend. And then the system that comes in next week will lay down a little bit more rain, but further to the north, this time extending from South Dakota, Minnesota, northern Iowa, northern areas of Illinois and Wisconsin, and then on to the east. And that's the area that was really walloped yesterday by widespread and significant rainfall.
And then is there a break after that?
There will be a small break after that, and temperatures will turn a lot warmer. But here's the catch. The reason temperatures turn a lot warmer is because another large system approaches from the west. That develops a feed of southerly winds, and more than likely we're going to see thunderstorms redevelop across the plains, including the wettest areas of Nebraska, South Dakota, and Kansas. And that'll eventually move into the western Corn Belt around May 18th or so. That's next Saturday. That'll start affecting some of the wetter areas of Iowa and Minnesota, as well as Missouri. And then finally, we'll start to see those in here late next weekend or early the following week, right around May 19th and 20th. Across the eastern Corn Belt. So you put all this together, and basically what we're telling you is that we're going to see nuisance-type showers over the next 5 to 7 days, then a warm-up, and then bigger rains right behind it. And if you just look at this in the big picture and try not to get too tricky with it, it's basically going to continue raining, even though we do have a drier patch coming up.
Now we'll have to see how much prevent plant ends up being taken at this point, because you're getting to that date, especially in those western Corn Belt states, where May 25 is right there. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tom. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Quick reminder that today we will not record Commodity Week. That'll come to you live if you're listening to our home station, WILL AM 580, tomorrow on the weekend over many of these radio stations. And then tomorrow afternoon, of course, up on willag.org, willag.org. Tomorrow morning, the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 o'clock Central Time will update the monthly WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates reports. You will want to check those out because they'll have the first indication of what USDA really thinks this year is going to look like for corn and soybeans, or the new crop. Again, you can find those at about 11 o'clock at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.